Recently, the news media reported that approximately 200 immigrants had been deported from the United States to El Salvador. A judge had ordered this action to stop, but it still occurred. Fortunately, we have judges willing to enforce laws protecting all rights, even those of immigrants. Who were the greatest sinners? Were they the ones who were deported? Or were they the ones who ordered their deportation? And what about ourselves? Dorothy Day writes, "The greatest challenge of the day is how to bring about a revolution of the heart, a revolution which has to start with each one of us." Jesus, in today's gospel, speaks of an incident where King Herod mingled the blood of some executed Galileans with the blood of their sacrifices. We don't know the circumstances of that situation. Jesus also gives the example of 18 people killed at the Tower of Siloam. Who were the greatest sinners? Jesus asked, "Do you think that these victims were more guilty than anyone else in Jerusalem?" "By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." In the Old Testament reading, Moses came upon a flaming bush that was not consumed. God called out to him, and Moses replied, "Here I am." God continued, "I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers, so I know well what they are suffering. Therefore I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them out of the land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey." Moses asked God what he should say to them. God replied, "I am who I am. I am sent me to you." Moses accepts his calling and returns to Egypt to lead God's people from slavery. Today we focus on Jesus' words, "If you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." First, we believe God is a just but compassionate and merciful God who loves us and does not destroy the sinner. We sometimes think of God as an angry God who punishes us. However, we see the face of God in Jesus, who suffered crucifixion for us, because he loved even the sinner. The causes of most suffering are people who inflict hardship on others. When we harm others, like the immigrants who were returned to El Salvador, we cause immense harm to them, ourselves, and the people who could make a noble contribution to the world. In that way, we begin to perish individually and collectively. We are called to be compassionate, merciful, and loving, especially toward those who have few options. If we don't move in a different direction or repent, we should not be surprised by the destruction we cause. We all have areas where we need to repent. Sometimes we are blind to them. Jesus speaks to us through the scriptures today and reminds us that we must repent. We can see repentance as ceasing to do harm to others and their lives. We can also see repentance as positively advancing the good of others and the created world. One way of looking is negative, but the other is positive. In the parable of the fig tree, we compare ourselves to that tree that is meant to produce fruit. If we don't, then what is the purpose of our existence? The owner wanted to cut it down, but Jesus encouraged mercy and compassion and time for a person to repent or change the direction of his or her life. When we turn away from what is harmful and destructive of others, then life begins to flourish. The fig tree produces fruit. Our positive repentance contributes to the healing of our relationships and even of our natural world. We live on earth as God's gift. As God's gift, we are meant to extend that gift to others for their good and the good of the world. We are not here merely to enjoy this life while others are languishing. Today, God sends us to protect God's people who are enslaved in poverty, hunger, and war. He wants their lives to be fruitful and creative. Even if we do not bear fruit for a time, God may still be patient. But time can run out. We cannot stand still. We are either moving toward advancing life and the freedom of the poor of the world, or on a self-destructive pathway. We are either using our gifts to create a life of goodness and love, or we are using our gifts to hinder, obstruct, and devastate the lives of others and the world. During Lent, we reflect. How are we called to repent or move in a new direction? Do we only see other people's faults, but not our own? How can we help those who suffer injustice? How do we bring about a revolution of the heart? The poet E. Cummings states, "It is time for it to be time. It is time." First, we believe God is a just but compassionate and merciful God who loves us and does not destroy the sinner. First, we believe God is a just but compassionate and merciful God, who loves us and does not destroy the sinner.